So those of you who've been listening to me over the past couple of months, notice, and really for the past year, notice that I try to come up with a song. Maybe I'll sing the refrain for it. And this week, the only song that came to mind was Lead Me, Guide Me by Elvis. And I really didn't have the courage to do that. It's in the hymn book, yeah, but I only know the Elvis version, so. But the book of Kings and Matthew's gospel recall an appearance of God in physical things on earth. Sound and wind and storms in the first reading, and storms and wind and fear in the second reading. The prophet Elijah is running for his life from the death threats of Jezebel because Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal, the false god. He rests in a cave on Mount Horeb. He recognizes the voice of Yahweh not in the mighty hurricane or in the earthquake or in the fire, but in the tiny whispering sound. In his prayer with the Lord, Elijah receives new instructions for his mission. He is not done yet. There are two things I find interesting about the destination that Elijah chose. First, that he chose the mountain of God. Now, it kind of makes sense that he would do that, being a prophet and all, but mostly, on the other hand, it makes sense that Elijah would seek comfort there, but on the other hand, Elijah, who at this point appears depressed and worn out and doesn't want anything more to do with this prophet business. For in verse 4 of the same chapter, which we didn't read today, he prays for death. And yet he goes to the very place that if you were truly done with being a prophet, and if you could really run away from God, you would think he would stay far away from. Are we like that also? We say we are tired of this journey of faith, the day-to-day work of applying our faith to our lives. But in the end, we know that the commands of the Lord are precious, finer than gold, and we press on. We heed the call of the Lord. In Matthew's gospel, we're given a little day-by-day, day-in-the-life vignette. For Jesus, it has been a very full day, like so many others, and like our days can be. First, Jesus works many cures and then performs the remarkable miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, a symbol of God's abundance and blessing. The crowd who had been following him were avid for food, teaching, and consolation. Jesus had compassion on them, curing their sick and giving them the comfort of his teaching and nourishment of food, just as he does for us today. He tends to our needs and comforts us with his word and the nourishment of his own body. So it's not surprising, being fully human, he might need a little rest at this point. So he shows us a model of how he handles his life. He spends some hours in private to speak to his Father. Jesus' private prayer, an interlude between one demanding activity and another, teaches us that every Christian needs to take time out for recollection, to speak to the Heavenly Father. You see lots of examples of private prayer from Jesus in all the Gospels. The lesson from Jesus is to spend time in prayer. But the part of the story that caught my attention, probably because my life is more like being in the boat in a storm than it is spending private time with God, is that scene in the boat with the disciples. As you might imagine, this image of Jesus walking on the sea made a great impression on the disciples, for it is mentioned in all the Gospels. It even has made a great impression on our society. We still use the phrase, walks on water, to describe a saintly person, and sometimes we use it to describe those who think they are something they are not, like perfect. So far, there's been only one perfect person in history who has really pulled off this idea of perfection and walking on water. And Peter was only marginally successful with this, and it was a complete failure on the perfection part. Another thing we should know about this story is that storms are very frequent on Lake Gennesaret. They cause huge waves and are very dangerous to fishing boats. The disciples, who likely were fishermen, we know Peter was, would have known the peril if they were truly in peril. They would have known it. So if they were afraid, it seems reasonable to assume that it was a really bad storm. So imagine their fear when, in addition to the storm itself, they see what to them appears to be a ghost coming towards them. And if you've ever seen the, if you get a chance to see the movie Son of God, this scene, the director does a really good job in explaining, you know, with the storm and the wind and Peter and Jesus. It's really a great image of the kind of chaos that was going on at this point. And I'm sure if you get that picture, you maybe you've experienced those kind of days. Everything is crazy. You're just trying to live your life, you know, doing the best you can to follow Jesus, just as the disciples did on this day. And suddenly you can feel the presence of Jesus. Maybe you see him in the Eucharist, or in the face of the outcast and the stranger. Or maybe, like in Elijah's case, you hear a tiny whispering sound, a still small voice that says, "Be still and know that I am God." At that moment, you have a respite from all the craziness, and you are comforted because you get the sense, like the disciples, that Jesus is there for you. He tells you to come to him, follow him. You follow, sure in the knowledge that Christ will be there in whatever human struggle you have to go through. You feel elated at those moments, like a weight is lifted. Maybe you think, like Peter, that with faith in Jesus, you could walk on water. You feel that all things are possible. Then, like Peter, you look down. And suddenly the enormity of the situation, or maybe just the busyness of life, or your fears, finally get the best of you, and you lose your faith, and you cry out in fear, "Lord, help me." And Jesus is there once again. If we look up, have faith, and take his hand, he saves us. I had this kind of thing happen to me recently. A dear friend of mine told me he was told by his doctor that the lump that he found was likely cancerous. Although there needed to be a biopsy to confirm the diagnosis, the doc was pretty sure. My reaction was incredibly calm as I turned to Jesus for support. The storm of the news quieted, and I was able to be present and support my friend. I cried, of course, when the next week he told me that they had confirmed the diagnosis, but my faith still wasn't shaken. But over time, as the storm of the diagnosis raged and I became more aware of the reality that my friend can really die of this, or the effects of the treatment can be life-changing, I found myself getting more and more fearful. But I'm reminded, through today's gospel, the power that faith in Jesus can provide. I find myself feeling less fear. Now, I don't know what the ultimate outcome of this situation will be, but I do believe Christ will carry my friend and I through, as long as we keep our eyes on him and don't look down in fear.